And a good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. And my experts today, back with us from Power Mortgages, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner. Good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning.
And I'm going to call this the birthday edition of Ask the Experts with Power Mortgages, because Kevin and I both have the same birthday coming up Tuesday.
Both it's turning amazing. 25 again.
I was about to say, it's amazing that we're both turning 25 the same day.
Yes, I've turned 25 a few times now.
I've only done it once, but it's close. It's really close. So please be kind to us, everyone. We're old. On the show today, if you've got questions for Kevin, Ann, or Jess, and you'll have to speak up, 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or *570. Hands-free on your cell phone. And Ann, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today we're going to be looking at a scenario that a number of people find themselves in. They are either looking to buy a home, or they bought a piece of property they want to construct on it. So they're looking for construction loans, or people that have bought a home and it doesn't quite suit their needs. You know, if it just had this, that, or the other thing done to it, then yeah, it would be the perfect home for them. Or in another case, the home that they bought years ago was great then, but now it's sort of worn and tired, or it's not suiting their needs anymore and work has to be done, you know, or the choice is to move to another place that better suits their needs. In those scenarios, there are places you can go to buy to get money that will allow you to refinance your property and do these improvements on it as well, or purchase and make these improvements on the property as well. It just gives people more options in the home ownership field where they can improve on what they've already got, improve on what they want to buy or to build.
Would anyone like to add anything? I guess not. All right, we'll move on to question one.
This is a first. No one wants to improve on what I've said. Amazing.
But if they did, could they get money to improve on what you said? The first question is, can homeowners and buyers get the money they need to do the renovations or improvements to the house that they have in mind?
They can, but over the last few years, the amount of money they can get has decreased. Now you can only refinance your mortgage up to 85% of the value of the property. So there used to be able to do that significantly higher. So now what you're looking at is people who want to refinance have to be people that have at least a good amount of equity in their house, so that when they do refinance, they're not taking out more than 15% of the value, the as improved value of the property.
Kevin. The as improved value actually takes into consideration the value of the work that you are actually performing on the property. And some things will add value to property, some things won't. So the refinance purchase plus improvement is really a case-by-case deal in terms of how we approach it and whether it will qualify or not. And to give you an example of that, if you look at a property that needs a roof replaced, and replacing a roof, depending on how old it is and how many times it's been either shingled over, what kind of shape the subroof is in, you could be looking in the vicinity of anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000, depending on the size of the property and the amount of work. Does adding a new roof or replacing a roof change the value of the property? In most cases, it will not. It's kind of like buying a car that has a set of tires on it that pass safety inspection. Whether it has new tires or tires that are still legal for use, it doesn't change the value. If you go out and you spend $1,000 and put it on the vehicle before you sell it, chances are you're not going to get your $1,000 back simply by adding new tires to the vehicle. Some of the things that really add value to the home is kitchens, bathrooms, and basements. Changing windows, well, that's a good idea, and there's some benefits to doing that in terms of more energy efficiency, but it really doesn't add any significant value to property, and buying good quality windows is an expensive proposition as well. So It's all there. You can do just about anything you want. You just have to qualify for it, and you got to have a really good program that that will work. Some of the other things as well would be an addition if you're increasing the square footage of the property. We'll add some value to it. We actually just completed a file that funded a little over a week ago. It was a $300,000 renovation and addition to an older property in town where the people really, truly love where they were living. Their family had lived there for a number of years, and they weren't interested in moving to another property. So they spent a lot of money bringing the home up to meet their needs. It was quite the project, and we certainly enjoyed working on it.
So now we've already really covered a question two. If you already own the house, you can refinance it to get some money to fix it up or add to it or improve on it. But Jess was saying that it's not as much as you used to be able to get. So what are the limitations or problems in doing this? And just out of curiosity, what were the old rules when you went to refinance a property? How much could you refinance it for?
Well, you could, the last drop, it had been 90% of the value, up to 90%. And, you know, that depending on the value of your house, you know, an extra $15,000 to put towards renovations is pretty significant. That could be all new doors and windows. That could be, you know, a new siding, a new deck, and a new roof at the same time. So, you know, a new kitchen, that's a significant amount of money. So, you know, it is less, and it isn't everybody can't refinance to get what they want. But there's also basically you can refinance up to 10 for an additional funds, up to 10% of the as improved value. You can do that. But there's also what Kevin was talking about, people who are doing a massive overhaul on the property. They're going to do a major addition, something like that. And although, you know, that's a huge amount of money being asked for, that will have a few more rules to it. It'll be following under some of the construction advance draw rules. So in that case, we're going to be talking about some extra holdbacks, which is going to be a little trickier, and the owners will have to pay more attention to what's happening with their money, because the money advanced isn't going to be everything they thought it was going to be when they thought it was going to be.
But on the other hand, my opinion on these holdbacks in new construction, as difficult as they are to make the project work and the time involved by the owners in taking care of these holdbacks and releases of money, protect the homeowner in a way, in the sense that they are not giving the contractor a huge sum of money up front, and then maybe not, the work gets done, or it gets done in a timely way. When there are holdbacks, there are benchmarks that the contractor is required to meet before any more money is advanced. So that keeps the contractor moving on, and it keeps them honest in terms of doing the work that they're getting paid for. So I kind of like it, even though it's sort of a really messy way of dealing with it.
It causes some fights between the homeowner and the contractors, but it's to protect the interest of the lender and the homeowner. So it really is necessary, although aggravating.
It's holdbacks under the Construction Lien Act is really what we're talking about. And it is basically legislated that there must be 10% held back from any construction advances to ensure that the subtradespeople are actually getting paid. A 45-day contingency is a timeline from the date that the invoice was submitted that people have to get paid. If they don't get paid in that period of time, they can actually place a lien on the property. And the purpose of the holdback is to actually pay the money that's being held back to anybody that hasn't been paid for the work that they've performed on it.
Okay. Are there any other problems in the whole process you should be aware of?
One that people who aren't familiar with it sometimes don't understand is that the work has to be done first, and then an appraiser will come out to make sure that the work has been done and to confirm the as improved value before the funds are going to be released. Whether it's a one-time release of funds at the end or whether it's progress advances, then the appraiser's coming out all along. So as the borrower, you really have to have enough funds to cover. If you have found a contractor who wants money up front, you have to be able to cover that yourself. Or you have to find contractors that are willing to be paid after the lenders decide to release the funds.
If you're doing like a big reno, as Kevin was talking about, putting on, you know, an extra wing or something like that, do you have to take the plans to the people who are going to give you the money? Do they need to see those before you start the work?
You do. You need very detailed information you want. And if it's any work you're going to do yourself too, you need to, you know, go to Home Hardware, Home Depot, wherever you're buying your materials, have a detailed material list if you're going to be doing your work. You need your detailed quotes. And you have to decide who you're using and have these quotes. And they actually get submitted to the lender. And if it is a CMHC-insured property as well, to CMHC for approval ahead of time. So it is, you know, it isn't willy-nilly. They want concrete quotes and information.
And also the involvement of an appraiser is usually required as well to actually assess the value added off the work or improvements that you're actually doing to the property.
Okay, good things to keep in mind if you're thinking about doing some major renovations. My guest today, Kevin Power, Ann Turner and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. You can call their office at 519-886-1993 or find out more online at powermortgages.ca. If you are about to undertake a major renovation and you've got questions, give us a call, 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Or call us hands-free on your cell phone at *570. When we come back, we'll ask the question, well, why wouldn't you just move to another house if your current house doesn't meet your needs? Why wouldn't you just find something that does? Why go through all of this? And we'll, of course, be taking your questions. So stick around for more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News. And we are back. My guests, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages. And before we get to the back to the topic at hand, which is talking about major renovations or additions to a home and where you get the money for it, maybe you just want to know where you can get the money to buy a home. So I'm going to hand it over to Kevin.
Thank you, Dave. And I guess more importantly, how much is the money going to cost you?
Exactly.
All right. Today, 5-year fixed-term money closing by the end of May, 5-year fixed-term at 3.29%. We have 7 and 10-year term mortgages closing within 120 days at an interest rate of 3.99%. We have variable rate mortgages at prime minus 0.10. Bank prime today is at 3%. That will give you a variable rate mortgage starting at 2.90%.
That sounds pretty good.
Pretty darn good indeed.
And as Ann keeps saying, you should jump on the 10-year at 3.99 because she would. So if you'd like to jump on it, then give Kevin a call at 519-240-2967 as soon as the show is over. That's 519-240-2967. So why would you go through all this rigmarole if your current house doesn't meet your needs? Why would you or should you undertake a big reno, upgrade, or update instead of just moving to a house that's more what you need?
Well, people who are moving into a home may really, really like the features of an older home. You know, without a doubt, in older construction, it's more solid, that the baseboards, the trimmings, you know, those sorts of things, the rooms are bigger. There's a lot of features, you know, solid brick from top to bottom. Those features, that's very difficult to find in newer home construction. I mean, we've got some newer homes, very pricey newer homes going up around our neighborhood. And these houses are partly brick, partly siding. You know, and you would think for the money that's being asked that they would get a solid brick home. It's very unusual to get a solid brick home top to bottom these days. And certainly the trimming that goes down on the baseboards, around the windows and doors, and the door themselves, definitely do not have the amount of wood or character in them that older homes have. Furthermore, older homes are the ones that have these great big old trees and mature gardens, in them that you know that you don't find in newer properties, and often significantly larger lots than in newer properties. They have established schools and neighborhoods there. The streets are prettier looking because they have the maturity on them. The stores and schools and churches have grown up around these communities over the years. And you may want to move to something like that as to moving into a new neighborhood, which we've done a couple of times, and spent years with construction noise. You can't open your windows because of the noise and the dirt that's always blowing in. All the work that was required to landscape and to bring the inside and the outside up to a home that is not just a cookie-cutter box with construction paint on the inside and the outside, but something that looks like you want it to look like. Much easier to do this with an older home and to take the extra money and bring it up to date, whether it's putting in a new bathroom or a new kitchen to make it that much more functional, or to upgrade plumbing or electrical if that's needed. You know, to put on a deck or a sunroom, whatever these things are that you want to make that house your own, but keep the features of the neighborhood and the construction and the amenities are there with doing this work yourself. Certainly, if you go into constructing and renovating on a property of your own, it's over and done with within a few weeks or a few months, as opposed to a neighborhood where 5 years later the dust and the dirt is still blowing around. You still got that traffic that runs up and down the streets for the open houses and that sort of thing. I think we spent a good 5 or 6 years in our neighborhood like that, didn't we? We were one of the first in and one of the last to be able to open their windows.
In the previous neighborhood as well with that dirt. Two more reasons I want to add there. One would be sentimental. People that have grown up living in that house and just don't want to leave it. They have all their memories there and they're comfortable there, but it doesn't suit their needs anymore. Or there are different things that they're looking for in their house. And another reason might just be that if you were trying to buy what you were looking for, it would cost more than renovating what you already have. If you had an older home on a big lot, to try and find a property with a lot that big and pay those premiums and to design the house that you were looking for may just cost significantly more than updating your current home.
I remember the house that the girls and I lived in when they were younger, there was a bedroom wall in which their height was measured on quite regular basis. And when we moved to the next house, the last house the girls lived in with me, didn't have that. You know, and there was no way of taking it, but I still think of that wall where the measurements of the kids as they were growing up with some sentimentality and wish it had traveled along with us, especially now that there are grandchildren that their growth cycles could be measured against the grandkids as well. So, there, you know, even small sentimental things like that keep people in their homes.
And that's why you should always do those growth things on a door jamb, so you can rip the door jamb off and take it with you.
Even better, Dave, now they make paper or cloth ones or wood ones that you can post up, with pictures of them, elephants and clowns, whatever. And you can mark that, and then when you move, you can take it with you.
I don't know.
I've done.
I still kind of like the whole destructive thing of just ripping the door jamb off and taking it with you.
Oh, take the door as well.
Well, why not? What the heck? The people moving in will be like, what happened to this door?
I swear, and there never used to be one there. It was always fluorescent beads.
And there's always a convenience factor attached to reason staying in the current home as well. In the case of the client I just referenced, she works in the downtown area of Kitchener. It's walking distance from where she lives. She doesn't need to take a bus. She doesn't need to take a car. She doesn't have the expenses really associated with getting back and forth to work. So it's a 5-minute walk. And they looked at bigger homes moving to a different area, and it kept coming back, even though it was a substantial reno and a lot of money and a lot of work and a lot of effort to get everything done. It just made perfectly sense for them, their family, and their lifestyle to stay in the home that they've lived in for the last 10 years or more.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. News is coming up. When we come back, we'll talk about how complicated this whole process is for the average homeowner and whether or not it's something you really want to start undertaking. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts is on the way here on 570 News. On the show today, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, and online at powermortgages.ca. Our topic today, taking on a major renovation or even an addition to your home and what all is involved with that. Let's go over to the phones now and take a call from Mir. Hi, Mir. You're on 570 News.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding my mortgage. I have a $195,000 mortgage left on my house, and I'm paying 2.3 variable. And regarding to news that rates are going to go up, and I was offered 4 years fixed rate 3.19. So right now, I don't know what to do. Should I go with fixed or should I stay with variable? If you could answer that for me, please, I'll hear it off of the air, please.
All right, Mir, it's a question that we've had quite a few times over the years, and I guess it's always a tough one to answer, and it really gets down to personal choice in terms of your comfort zone, whether you're comfortable with the payment or if you're accelerating your payments right now, you're paying more than you're required to take advantage of the 2.30% rate that you've got. In the short term, you could still be better off by going with an interest rate of 2.3 for another 6 months or so and look at that in time. Doing a four-year term, I really don't sell a lot of three- or four-year terms. I actually refer to them as chicken terms. And a chicken term for me is somebody is just not quite ready to make the commitment to a five-year term, and they're not quite ready to make a commitment to a short term, so they take a chicken term.
And what a chicken term would be?
With fries.
Well, I understand why Mir is looking at this, because this is a rate of 3.19 compared to today's rate, which can be like 3.39. So there's a 20 basis points there to be saved for four years. But what you have to ask yourself is that beyond rate, what else is this mortgage offering you? And there are some very important things that have to be looked at besides rate that could end up costing you a whole lot more. And like fees to get out of the mortgage and such. So I understand you're wanting to continue with that best rate of 3.19 when the time does come to switch from a variable rate to a fixed rate. But you also have to, saving 10 basis points over 4 years, are you going to lose that savings in the fifth year when you have to renew at much, much higher rates? In that case, you would have been better off taking the rate with the higher interest rate now to sustain that rate over a longer period of time. I know that 3.99 seems like a lot of money in comparison to your 2.03, and it is, but it's a sustained rate over 10 years. And 10 years is enough time and at a low enough rate to get rid of a significant amount of the principal. And it also ensures that rate holds steady for that period of time. And the way the government's acting and talking right now and turning over control of CMHC to OFC, I'd be concerned myself over the long haul and where mortgages and mortgage rates are going.
All right. Well, Mir, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go right back over to the phones, and now we'll take a call from Robert. Hi, Robert. You're on 570 News.
Hi. How are you this afternoon?
Very good, Robert. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. My wife and I are kind of in a dilemma here. We've got our current mortgage that's up for renewal at the end of this month, end of May. And our mortgage company, of course, is, you know, doing everything they can to try and get us to re-sign with them.
Yes, sir.
We've been working with Royal Bank for 30 years. Maybe I shouldn't have said the name, but with our bank for, you know, 30 years. And they're offering us this kind of, they call it it's almost like that one line or home line, I think is what it's called.
RBC Home Line Equity Plan?
RBC Home Line Equity Plan. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, the way that the RBC deal is structured, they've split our mortgage balance into two halves, and we're signing for 7 years. So the first 4 years is at 3.29%, and then the remaining the last half of the mortgage for the remaining 3 years is at 3.99%, and of course we'd have to refinance or renew the first half of the mortgage. And our mortgage company is offering us 10 years at 3.89%. But I guess the bottom line question is this home line plan encompasses some of our credit card debt and some of the things that we want to kind of use the equity in our home to pay off. And with the finance company, we'd have to either get a second mortgage or look at a complete refinance with them, which from what I understand could cost some money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just kind of, you know, what do we do? What makes the most sense? I'm from the States, so I'm used to having 25-year fixed mortgages and never have to worry about it again without these prepayment penalties and things like that.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, I come from a different culture when it comes to mortgages, and I'm just a little confused, and we're, you know, concerned about should we sign for 10 years? Should we maybe just go with a 5-year?
All right. Anyway,
so I'm just going to hang up and let you listen to the answer so my wife can hear, too. Is that okay?
Yeah, you sure? That'd be great. Thanks, Robert, and that's a great question, by the way. And I guess one of the primary considerations, Robert, that you should be really looking at, and I don't know if you listen to us regularly, if you listen to any of our previous shows where we talk about collateral charge term mortgage documents, and any of the mortgage products, the one that you're referring to, or with some of the other financial institutions that offer similar products but just got a different name on them, those mortgages, in our opinion, are problematic to begin with. First of all, regular fixed-term mortgages without these lines of credit attached to them are generally secured using standard charge-term mortgage documents. Those documents are registered for the actual amount of money that you owe. They are basically, they qualify for switch transfer at the end of the term from your current lender to another lender with minimal costs. Any costs on it are actually charged by your existing lender to discharge or transfer the mortgage to a different lender. With these collateral charge term mortgage documents, they're actually registered, again, depending on lender, anywhere from 100% of the value of your property to 125%, and they do not qualify for switch transfer at the end of the term. That's two issues that are with that particular product. Most importantly, when lenders are selling you a product that's kind of split into two levels, and that's not anything new. These products have been around in my time, and that goes back four decades. They've been around for about the last two decades, and they were really products that were set up to tie customers directly to the lender, because you're going to have different portions of it maturing at different times. You will never have them all mature at one time, which is another reason why you will not be able to switch transfer to another lender. The significant issues with these collateral charge term mortgage documents, it gives the lender far too much power plus control over 100% or more of the equity that you have in your property. Looking at whether you should do a 10-year term or do something else, a 5-year term, that's really a matter of choice between yourself. And at today's interest rates, they are really at historical lows, and I don't think anybody can go wrong with taking either a 5 or a 10-year term, but I certainly would recommend that you think very seriously about some of the issues that could come up and some of the problems that you could end up facing if you end up taking the home line equity property, mortgage. What I would suggest to you, Robert, is if you want to give me a call either after the show or into next week, I would be happy to sit down with you and where we can talk in a little more detail about some of the limitations and some of the concerns that we have about these mortgage-type products that include either split levels or with lines of credit attached to them, okay?
All right. So, Robert, here's how you do that. You can call Kevin at 519-240-2967 right after the show, or you can call the office during the week at 519-886-1993. And the webpage, powermortgages.ca, is also a great place to learn more. So thank you very much for your calls. If you still got questions for Kevin, Ann, and Jess, 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. Back to the topic of the day, whether or not you should move to another house or stay at the one you've got and renovate it. And when you go through one of these major renovations or adding an addition, really, how complicated is the process for the average homeowner?
I would think most consumers and even a lot of people in the mortgage industry themselves have not had a lot of experience in dealing with refinance plus improvements or purchase plus improvements. They're not overly complicated if somebody has taken the time to do the research on them. And you're dealing with somebody who's going to be handling for you that actually have some experience in terms of doing it. And they have some foresight in terms of knowing what the policies are and how the things are structured. And there are some limitations on them as well, particularly with the purchase plus improvements. They're not as tied. If you do the purchase plus improvements at the time that you're buying a home, it's a whole lot less complicated than it is if you do the refinance plus improvements. The purchase plus improvements has a cap on it. It's a maximum of 10% of the purchase price of the property, but you can basically, it doesn't really have to bring value to the property. And bringing value to the property, going back to our analogy about if the property needs a roof replacement, if you do it as a refinance plus, it may not add any value to your property. If you do it as a purchase plus improvement, default mortgage insurers, if you're financing more than 80% of the purchase price, really don't care so long as the money is going into the home, and whether it's going for roof or electrical upgrades or finish the basement or kitchen or bathroom rentals or flooring or paint. There's a whole number of things that you can do. You can do it yourself by supplying quotes for the materials if you're going to do the work yourself. Provide them to us prior to the funding off your mortgage, and we actually get the mortgage approved for the amount that you need to buy the home. Plus, if you're financing 95%, really we can finance 95% of the improvements of the property as well. So it's a really economical way to do some upgrades to your property right at the very beginning.
Now, just to add to that, if you were, let's say, asking for $10,000, you wanted to do a roof and some painting, if you're asking for an additional $10,000 in this purchase plus improvement program, if you were putting 5% down, you'd have to also put 5% down on this $10,000 that you're asking for. So you're coming up with that extra $500 for your down payment.
My guests today, Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner of Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. You can call them at 519-886-1993 and go online for more info at powermortgages.ca. Well, stick around. We're going to take a short break. Then we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News. Thank you so much for joining us today. Kevin Power, Ann Turner, and Jess Turner from Power Mortgages are my guests. You can tell we have a good time because we're just giggling through the commercial breaks. We should be listening to the commercials, though. There might be valuable things we want to buy. I guess I'll let Kevin do the show rate specials one more time.
Thank you, Dave. 5-year fixed-term mortgages. This is for new business only. Of course, subject to credit approval. Rates can change at any time. 5-year fixed term closing by the end of May, 3.29%. We have 7 and 10-year money available at 3.99%. We have variable rate mortgages available at prime minus 0.10 for a rate of 2.90% today based on a 3% bank prime.
And if you'd like to take advantage of those rates, give Kevin a call right after the show at 519-240-2967, 519-240-2967. So before the break, we were talking about, buying an existing house, doing the renovations to it. So what does that buyer have to do before and after the closing date to get the extra financing?
I don't know. I've never done one.
Really?
Right. I'll just say,
I find that hard to believe.
Your homework. Meet with your different contractors. Get your quotes. Or if you're doing the work yourself, make your detailed quotes of what everything's going to cost. You do have to supply that before, so that it can actually be approved for that amount. And afterwards, what you're going to be having is the appraiser come in to make sure that you do have a property that has that work completed and that has reached the as improved value as expected.
Yeah, and I must say, it sounds like, oh, gee, how am I going to get a construction list? And because I've never done this before and yada, yada. Speaking as someone that has taken on many, many, many renovations over many years, hardware suppliers, hardware stores like Home Hardware or Rona or Lowe's or Home Depot, stores like that, when you go in and give them either your drawings or your idea, like I went in once and said I want to do a 16 by 22 add-on, what do I need? They bring up and create a list of materials you're going to need and the cost for you. You don't have to sit there and say, now I'm going to need this many studs and this many
nails
and this many screws and this much insulation and this much plywood. They will come up with the material list for you and the cost of that material list. So it's not as onerous as what you might think it is. Each of these stores has a counter that you can go to and say, hey, look, I'm thinking of doing this. I mean, we've done it ourselves for our decks where we've said, well, we kind of want a deck to look like this. And then they've gone and they've created that deck with their software programs and created the material list and the cost on the material list. So, yeah, it's not as simple as just doing nothing, but it isn't as difficult as what you might think it would be. And I think the most difficult thing you're going to have to do is to find someone who knows what they're doing when it comes to this kind of construction and can see you through the process. And by that, I mean you need a good financial consultant, such as a mortgage broker. Not everybody in the lending world knows how to do these things, particularly bank officers who are very seldom involved in these kinds of lending programs. They don't cross their desks very often. They're moved around from job to job, so they don't truly get to know one job really well. Like one year they may be in mortgage financing, next time in personal loan financing, then they're in investment products, and then they're in insurance products. They're getting moved around within the jobs that lending institutions are now doing and never really learn one job really, really well. As opposed to people in the mortgage brokerage industry that spend all their time staying on top of the mortgage money lending business. And many do know the ins and outs, in particular in this kind of financing, which is not as easy to do as a straightforward mortgage.
So let's say we've done all this. The construction has begun, but it isn't over yet. What should we be doing during this period when the work is actually underway?
One of the things, Dave, that we always caution our clients about in terms of doing Purchase Plus Improvement is to make them aware and to suggest to them and advise them to let, if they're going to use contractors to do the work for them, that everybody understands that this is being done on a Purchase Plus Improvement mortgage. The money is not available in advance. The work has to be done prior to the money being released. as well, lenders will not agree to do partial releases. And partial releases means if you're going to do a roof and you're going to do windows and they're being done by different companies, that when one company does their job, they're not going to get their money. And then when the second one, it's all going to get released at one time. And it's important that that people and the tradespeople that are going to be doing the work fully understand that, because if you wait until the work's done and they're looking for payment, and if you tell them then that, well, no, we've got to wait till the other two trades contractors are done before you're going to get your money, you're going to have a very unhappy contractor on your hands, and they could turn around and put a lien against your property. So it's a matter of being truly informed and making sure that everybody understands it is capped at 10% of the purchase price of the property. The releases are all done at one time, and typically lenders want all the work complete within 120 days. They do not want to keep these files active for any longer than 120 days, because every time everybody touches a file, it just takes more time, and more time is more cost.
So when do they actually release the money then?
When 100% of the work is complete and it has been verified by an appraiser or somebody who's going to go out and do a visual inspection on the home, we provide them with a copy of the quotes, the work that was intended to be done. Their job is to go out and verify that it has been done, and it has been done in a workmanlike manner.
Now, on a construction mortgage, the money is released in stages as the construction goes on. So they have to meet a certain, you know, like the walls have to, but it might be the walls have to be on, the walls and roof have to be on, and the money is released. And then the electrical and the plumbing has to get done, and money is released. And then the interior walls get done, and money is released. And then, you know, certain other parts get done, and money's released again. It's in construction, because the costs are so enormous, it does get released as certain benchmarks get met, and an appraiser goes out to see that those benchmarks are being met and gets to the back to the lender and says, yes, they're there, and then the money gets released that far for that amount that's been agreed upon it until the next one. So there's different approaches to releasing the money between construction money and improvement money.
And the contractors, are they on board with this? Can you find a contractor supplier who understands will actually work with you on these mortgage lending programs?
Yeah, and case by case, it's all part of the negotiations, Dave, when you're sitting down and you're putting your plan together and you advise your contractor what you're doing. Some of them may require some sort of a deposit from you. I understand from a contractor's position the risk that they run of completing the work and not getting paid for it. So generally, if you negotiate up front and you work out a workable arrangement, possibly sign letter of directions and different things, we haven't had any issues with anybody not being paid. We've not had any issues of people not being able to work out a purchase plus improvement or a construction financing arrangement with anybody. We've seen lots of cases where people on construction financing that they have their own idea of when they want the money. Unfortunately, the bank's got their idea, and they're not going to change it. They have their stages that they're going to release the money, and regardless of what agreement anybody else has got, they're not going to do it.
Okay. The last question was, is there anywhere people can go to get some good advice on the ins and outs of these sort of improvements? I'm guessing the answer is go see you guys.
Yeah, give Ann a call on Monday.
Yeah, give us a call. Kevin and I have both done these types of deals in the past. I've even done them on my own property. So give us a call. We'd love to help you out on that.
All right. 519-886-1993 or online at powermortgages.ca. Thanks for being on the show again, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
And gals.
Thank you, Dave. See you in 2 weeks.
I said guys and they answered and said gals and you answered. Uh-huh. What is wrong with this picture?
That's just the way it is.
Kevin Power and Turner and Jess Turner were my guests today. Again, 519-886-1993. News is next here on 570 News.